This is Scott Vanderploo, and you're listening to the Artist Edition Index Podcast, episode 37. Thank you for joining me once more as we take the written word from AEIndex.org and bring it to life on this podcast. That happens monthly. Everything we talk about can be found at AEIndex.org. That's the site of the Artist Edition Index. Most things can be found on the homepage. I have been making some changes, so if you're a regular listener, and I hope you are, we're going to talk about some changes I've made to the site as well as what has happened in this last month. All right, big news for this podcast, the Artist Edition 2019 Dunbeer Awards are live. Let's get right to that. That is every year. This started on the forums, and I took it over from there. So every year we list all the AE format books that were published in the previous year, and then I've set categories and we vote. So that can be found. That's a sticky post that's right at the top of the Artist Edition Index website. So click on 2019 Dunbeer Awards, and we got the categories. So let's talk name first. I've called this the Scott Dunbeer Awards, but I dropped the Scott part. Make it a little smaller as far as the title goes, and hopefully, I don't know, it sounds more like the Eisners, really. Don't have a really great reason. I want to read you this blurb, though, that I put on the page for the voting. To qualify, an AE format book must have been published and released through Diamond using its ship date. Click the name to go to the full review. Then I list the six books that were published in 2019. Those books, in alphabetical order, are Berkeley Breathe's Bloom County Artist Edition, Frank Thorne's Gita and Erotic Treasury Volume 2, Jim Lee DC Legends Artifact Edition, John Byrne's Marvel Classics Artifact Edition, Spawn Vault Edition 2, Walter Simonson Star Wars Artist Edition. That's it. It's a lean year. And the reason I put that blurb up, Jim Lee DC Legends Artifact Edition was sent to comic shops at the end of 2018, and they were told not to release it until January, but some stores put it out early. So therefore, that's why I said we go by the Diamond ship date. The other reason is because there is a new book out. It's a Kickstarter. It's not a Kickstarter. It's an Indiegogo. Let me get the name of it because I'm just babbling at this point. It is P. Craig Russell's The Shelfish Giant and Other Stories Fine Art Edition. That started being shipped from the publisher, Wayne Allen Herald, in December. I got my copy. But it's also being solicited and released through Diamond, date of January 29th. Because that's a wide release and it's a firm date, I'm using that date. If this was a Kickstarter or a crowdfunded book, Indiegogo, and that was not going to get a Diamond release, then I probably would have put it in the month it was released, which would have been December of 2019. But because we got a Diamond release, I'm going with 2020, and that book will appear in the 2020 list. All right, as usual, I did all the same categories, so let me run through those for you. Best Publisher, Best Design, Best Reproduction and Scanning Quality, Best Overall, Favorite Material, and Purchases. I changed the order up because I found that the first voting category, the first voting question, got the most votes. So every other year I've done Best Design, and it got more votes than any other. So I put Best Publisher up at the top, which was always the lowest one anyways. And you can check the votes out. So we have three publishers this year, right? We have IDW releasing four of these books, we have Image releasing one, and we have Hermes Press releasing one. I'm going to say, based on the votes I've seen, big number of hits to the voting as of January 1st, because it went live just after midnight. And then Scott Dunbeer was kind enough to share that information on Facebook. So we've been getting some decent votes, and as always, first question got more votes than any other vote. Best Publisher got 40 votes. Right now, I'm talking January 2nd. Best Design got 35 votes. Best Reproduction got 35 votes. Best Overall got 34 votes. Favorite Material got 38 votes. Purchases got 33 votes. So am I to assume that of the 40 votes for best publisher, only 33 of those people purchased something? I did say on the forum that even if you didn't buy any of these books, you can certainly vote for favorite material. I mean, it's just the material you like the best, right? This is to give readers and publishers an idea of what fans like, what fans want to see in future volumes. I would like that, you know, if you're going to vote on other categories, maybe either you have the book or a friend has the book and you reviewed it, like you've gone over it, you've held it, you've read it, that kind of thing, before making a voting choice. That would be appreciated. Unfortunately, I use three different voting plugins for WordPress. This is the one that I use every year, WP Poll. It's what I use every year for this poll only because you can have a close date. Colors are okay. And it's pretty straightforward to read. So I appreciate that. All right. That is the Scott Dunbier Awards. Please come on. They are live from January 1st to January 31st. They closed in midnight of January 31st, and then I put up the results on February 1st. I'm going to make a prediction right now, and somebody is going to hear this and just vote to just to change it up. But I'm going to say that one of the publishers is going to get no votes for anything. And with four IDWs, you know, and then one from Image, one from Hermes Press, it's tough to go that way. So far, voting, John Byrne's Marvel Classics Artifact Edition, in the 2 days, it's a landslide. And then we have Walter Simonson's Star Wars Artist Edition is getting a lot of votes. Jim Lee's getting less votes, and then it goes down, down, down. So please go on the site and check that out. At any time, you can go to the page and see, you can just click on results for each category, and they will show them. So that's nice. So please do that. And, of course, please vote. All right, thank you. Speaking of polls, we also had the December poll, which closed December 31st, and that poll question was, Superman is the most iconic comic book character of all time. Some of the greatest artists have worked on his adventures, and each decade had its influential artist. What decade deserves an AE format book the most? I added this note. If an artist was prolific in multiple decades, one was chosen as their best representation. All right, so we had six categories. 1940s by Wayne Boring, 1950s by Al Plastino, 1960s by Kurt Swan, 1970s by Jose Luis Garcia Lopez, 1980s by John Byrne, 1990s by Dan Jurgens. Now, the voting here is interesting because Byrne just led this thing for almost right until the end, and then boom, Garcia Lopez got 25 votes, and that's the highest one for this, followed by Byrne at 21 votes, Swan at 17 votes, 7 votes tied for Dan Jurgens and Wayne Boring, and then 1 vote for Al Plastino. That really surprised me. I voted for Wayne Boring. I don't vote in the Dunbier Awards, but I vote on these monthly polls. And I just cannot believe Wayne Boring got so low. Newspaper strips are awesome by Wayne Boring. And I mean, I do like the Byrne stuff too. I was not a fan of the Jurgens stuff. And I like Plastino, but Garcia Lopez is great. I was looking for art, and I found Garcia Lopez art on Superman. Not too extensive, but it is the iconic look, right? That 70s look, if you ever saw that material, you know what I'm talking about. All right, that's the poll from December. A new one will go up on I don't know, no one won't go up this month. I don't want to interfere with voting, so in February we'll see another poll. And speaking of sites polls, I did mention I changed the look of the site. I had a different theme up. I'm having some performance issues. I changed themes. I'm now using the WordPress 2020 theme. Made some customizations, put a background color. I think it's a little easier to read. Fonts are large. I added a large weekly newsletter sign up to the bottom. It was always large before. Now it's just one part. And now I've also added links to my other site, eBabel, where I review newspaper strips and European books. So I've been getting some hits from there, so I appreciate those coming to the Artist Edition Index and then seeing that link and clicking through. Thank you. I hope everybody likes the new look of the site. I like it. I mean, no complaints. Of course, I don't have comments, but I mean, I guess people could email me if they really hated it. But I'm finding it's easier to use, and I'm thinking it's looking better on mobile devices as well. All right. That's the look, you know, the back end changes to the site. I should mention at this point that you can support the Artist Edition Index three ways. First way, become a Patreon patron. Support the site for a dollar or more a month. It earns our eternal gratitude. And that's about it, though. If you like what we're doing here, you can support us for a dollar a month, or $2, $5, whatever you'd like. Another way to support us, if you just want to give us, you think, oh, this, I like the site, I'm going to give a one-time donation. That's if there's a PayPal me button on the Ars Edition Index proper page. So you can always click there. It's also on the About page, and you can just provide some. And the third way to support us is to use any of the links to the books. Almost all the links, Amazon, Things from Another World, eBay, those are all affiliate links, and I get a percentage, maybe 1, 2, 3%. Some of them are better. I can get up to, I think it's 12% I can get from Things from Another World, so that's pretty awesome. No, not Things from Another World. Yes, Things from Another World, yeah. Forbidden Planet is less. But so those are three ways you can support the site, and it's always appreciated. All right. Going back to what's happening, let's talk shipping changes. Not that many. As far as I know, just we had one. So Walter Simonson's The Mighty Thor Artisan Edition moved from January 29th to February 2nd. February 5th, I'm sorry. That's about the only change I think we've seen. Scott Dunbier did post Dave Cockrum's X-Men Artifact Edition, the final cover. So I updated that on the site. That looks good. Still waiting on Dark Horse to post some actual information about Nexus Newspaper Strips Artist Edition. Is this just a big book like the Marvel, you know, Ditko is Amazing kind of book, or the Kirby's Fantastic? Those just those giant books where the it's just comic pages enlarged, or is this an actual Artist Edition where they're scanning the original art? Still waiting to hear. All right, that's about it for. Let's talk. There are no sales numbers for the month because no book was released in November of 2019. There was no books in December of 2019 either. The last book we got is in October. So let's talk out of print sales numbers for November 2019. As I'm always a month behind. This podcast used to be the last day of the month. I noticed it slipped to the first day or second day of the next month. That's still okay with me. All right. Out of print sales. Let's talk those. Alien Illustrated Story. One sold, $72.10. One copy of Bernie Wright's Artifact Edition second print sold for $119. One copy of Best of VC Comics Volume 1 Artist Edition sold for $149. One copy of Bill Sienkiewicz's Mutants and Moon Knights and Assassins Artifact Edition sold for $194.99. One copy of Dave Stevens' Rock Artist Edition first print sold for $105. Two copies of David Mazzucchelli's Born Again Artist Edition sold for $239.50 average. I thought that would go down with the Artisan Edition. It still looks like it's holding, so. Two copies of Don Rose's The Life and Times of Scrooge McDuck Volume 1 Artist Edition sold for an average of $92.38. One copy of Frank Miller's Daredevil Artifact Edition sold for $100. Two copies of Gene Colan's Tomb of Dracula Artist Edition sold for an average of $84.31. One copy of J.K.O. Kane's Amazing Spider-Man Artist Edition sold for $60. Wow, that's a bargain. One copy of Jack Davis's EC Stories Artist Edition sold for $76. More bargains. Two copies of Jack Kirby's Fantastic Four of the World's Greatest Artist Edition sold for an average of $150. That's cover, so that's interesting. Two copies of Jack Kirby's The Mighty Thor Artist Edition sold for an average of $102, so well below cover. Two copies of Joe Kubert's Tarzan of the Apes Artist Edition sold for an average of $56. Bargain, bargain, bargain. Those books are awesome. Get all those Kubert Tarzan books if you can. Three copies of John Byrne's Fantastic Four Artist Edition sold for an average of $84.41. A bit low again. Two copies of John Byrne's X-Men Artifact Edition sold for an average of $157.75. There's a bump. Two copies of John Romita's The Amazing Spider-Man Artist Edition sold for an average of $92.50. Two copies of John Romita's The Amazing Spider-Man Artist Edition Volume 2 sold for an average of $82.48. Two copies of P. Craig Russell's Strange Dreams Artist Edition sold for an average of $69.99. One copy of Ross Andrews' The Amazing Spider-Man Artist Edition sold for $69.96. Two copies of Sergio Aragona's Gru the Wanderer Artist Edition sold for an average of $87.50. Four copies of Spawn Vault Edition sold for an average of $325. Man, this book is just boosted by that release of Vault Edition 2. And I guess the people hunting for the signature, this blows my mind. Unbelievable. One copy of Star Wars Dark Times Gallery Edition sold for $130. Yowzers, that is just out of nowhere. That book just sat at about $30 for 2 years, 3 years. And now, major premium there. One copy of Starenko Nick Fury Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D. Artist Edition sold for $90.99. One copy of Wally Wood's EC Stories Artist Edition sold for $165, and then the second print sold for $137.50. One copy of Walter Simonson's Thor Artist Edition sold for $85. Bargains to be had here and there and everywhere. eBay, you know, this is a strange mix this month. We see some well below cost, cover, and some way above. That's wow. As always, if you wait and watch for a bargain, you can get one. It's all about how much are you willing to pay to get it right away, isn't it? All right. Had two reviews in December. I reviewed the Cerebus Archive number 5, which I bought on eBay a couple months ago, and just it's sitting around. And then I reviewed Stan Sakai Usagi Yojimbo, the Complete Grass Cutter Artist Select. Yowzers, that's a gorgeous book. Let's talk our two reviews. All right, so let me give you the blurb on Cerebus Archive number 5. Every Cerebus fan loves Giacca. Now, thanks to Sean Robinson's Living the Line, you can own this meticulously digitally remastered artist edition shot directly from Dave Sim and Gerhardt's original artwork. It comes with an exclusive 11,000-word illustrated essay written by Dave Sim, giving you all the inside information behind the creation of these pages. Front of the portfolio, autographed by Dave Sim. This was released through Diamond, so you could get the autographed, unlike the first one. And, yep, it's Cerebus issue 114 with, like, 10 consecutive plates. You got page 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. I'm not a giant Cerebus fan, and I would be struggling to buy this if I did not get it at an awesome eBay price and because I run this site. They're interesting. I guess it's a piece of history. And then, there's like three portfolio pages, so six pages total, giving you that 11,000 words, like every thought Dave Sim apparently had on these pages. It's crazy. So it's for the Cerebus fan or those who want to know the ins and outs of this kind of thing. This is a real behind-the-scenes piece of work. The scan quality is excellent, really clear. I had to look up that what the deal is. Apparently, Sean Robinson does a site called Living the Line, and apparently he's rescanning all the original art for the digitally remastered Cerebus volume, so that's why the blurb says that. Glossy, really heavy paper stock. Again, not completely a fan of the gloss. You'll see some of the gloss shining annoyingly in my review images. But overall, it is a great package. I'm not sure I'd pay the $89 for the cover. I think I paid $30, and even then, I'm not quite sure. I watch eBay for deals, same as everybody else. I am in Canada. I think we've always talked about this, and I have a U.S. post box. So when I come across a deal with cheap U.S. shipping, I get it to the post box, and then I go get it. I ordered this sometime in the fall, but I didn't get back to the U.S. to my post box till December, so that's why it's reviewed now. I picked it up at the post box and then reviewed it. Easy review as well. Portfolio's kind of small. All right. Something else I picked up in my post box was the Stan Sakai Usagi Yojimbo, the Complete Grass Cutter Artist Select. No addition in the title, so I went with the colophon description. If you look at the book is solicited on the IDW website as something completely different. They don't even mention Stan Sakai. And then the back of the book, you know, when you get the book, it says Stan Sakai's Usagi Yojimbo, the Complete Grass Cutter Artist Select. I thought they used to call them Artist Select Edition. Maybe they cut that edition out to not confuse it with the AEs, you know, Artist Edition, Artifact Edition, Artisan Edition. So that's nice. This book is 9 inches by 13 inches. It's 464 pages, and it is the Complete Grass Cutter 1 and 2. Let me give you the blurb here. Stan Sakai's Usagi Yojimbo has been critically acclaimed worldwide since the character's debut in 1984. This Artist Select volume collects both storylines of the Eisner Award-winning grass cutter epics, Usagi Yojimbo issues 13 to 22 and 39 to 45, in their entirety. Each interior page has been scanned from Stan Sakai's personal archives and is printed artist edition style. Each copy is bound in signature plate signed by Sakai and is part of a numbered edition of $9.99. This mammoth 464-page hardcover comes wrapped in a dust jacket that features a new cover painting by the artist inside a handsome slipcase. Released in December 2019, for again 9 by 13, 464 pages, $150, right now only available from the IDW Select website. No, IDW Limited website, sorry. All right, now I got this book snatched up right away when it was announced. Awesome. Love it. I was able to get an AP copy, so I'm really happy with that. You know, the funny thing is also, I ordered, this is completely off topic, but related to APs, I missed out on the Usagi Yojimbo Saga 8 from Dark Horse. So again, just on the Cyber Monday sales, I thought they had a good deal. I had some credit. I bought it. I had a $5 credit from the newsletter, I think. And I bought it. I got a good deal. Picked up the post box, and it's an artist proof too. So that's awesome. I was really happy with that. So nice to have a bunch of artist edition, artist proofs all of a sudden. Scan quality is great. Stan Sakai does a beautiful job on his original art pages. You know, he started as a letter. He did a lot of lettering. So it's gorgeous. He puts the title of the issue. He puts the title of the work. He puts the page number. It's just really well done. Pages look awesome. 9x13 is a great size. The art looks good. I included a picture in the review at the bottom of three books. The Usagi Jimbo Gallery Edition, this Artist Select Edition, and then a Dark Horse Saga hardcover. So you can see the three different sizes. It's interesting. This Artist Select is right in the middle of size between the Gallery Edition from Dark Horse and the Saga Edition from Dark Horse. And, falls right in the middle. The art, like I said, Scott Dunbar did an excellent job with scanning the art. It looks awesome. But I do like the larger size of the Gallery Edition. No complaining there. You know, and I was able to ask Scott some questions because I got the book and I was working on the review, and I sent him an email and he was kind enough to answer my questions. So I was able to ask things like, were any corrections made? Why aren't the covers included in this? Because there's just black and white scans, not the original art scans. Why Artist Select? Why an Artist Edition? Is this going to be available through Diamond? And all those questions are answered in the review, so please go online and check that out. Well worth it. This book is gorgeous. It's always awesome to have a signed limited edition slipcase book, no question. When there's something not signed limited edition available to me, I normally go for that. Now, this is only available in this slipcased edition, so it's a nice addition to all the other Usagi Yojimbo things I have. I have the 8 or 9, I guess now, Dark Horse hardcover signed sagas. I have the two Gallery Editions. I'm hearing that Dark Horse will release one more saga. I'll pick that up in hardcover signed again. And let's hope that IDW does something else with Stan Sakai and this work, because it is gorgeous. All right, wanted to talk about something else, because this podcast is happening at the beginning of January, and I would like to mention that 2020 is the 10th anniversary of the first Artist Edition, and that is the Dave Stevens Rocketeer, The Rocketeer. Artist Edition came out in June of 2010, or was it July of 2010? Thankfully, I can go to the Artist Edition Index, look at my master list, and see there's 111 released to date. No, I'm sorry, it was released in August 18th of 2010. So August is the 10th anniversary proper. But this year of 2020, celebrating the 10th anniversary, I want to be doing a bunch of things for this 10th anniversary. I'm going to try and get some things from IDW, some information. I want to do some interviews with Scott Dunbier about origins of Artist Edition, Artifact Edition, Artisan Edition, and the Portfolio line. And then I want to get some polls unique to this. I want to do top 10. So I'm not sure if I'm going to do top 10 IDW only. I'm going to do top 10 AE format books. Because as I said, there's 111 right now between 2010 and 2019 released. So that's a pretty good number. I'd be excited to see that, because we have a lot of publishers. And then, I don't know. Maybe I'll do an IDW only, and then we'll do wide open to everybody. Maybe we'll do that way. I would like to, I was also, along with those interviews and articles about the different things, I'd like to try and get some information from other publishers. Graffiti, Dark Horse, what inspired them to also do these AE format books? Maybe I'll talk to Wayne Allen Harold. Try and get perspective of a bunch of things. That'd be nice. I was thinking about a Tumblr or a Instagram. a daily image, just using one image from my reviews. Since I have reviewed every one of these books, I'm an averaging, I mean, I don't know, I average 25 images, I think, per book. So there's 100, you know, 111, so I'm up, we got, you know, I got more than enough to do 365 days of images to celebrate this anniversary. So I was wondering if I should just do, maybe I was going to do five, well, let's see if I did, I could do, really, I guess I could do three or four pages per book, and then that would cover every book in this time period. But if I did, I could just start with the first, let's see, the first, what are the first 10? First 10, 9 of them are IDW and 1 is Alien. So if I did the first 10 IDW artist editions, that would give me Dave Stevens' The Rocketeer, Walter Simonson's The Mighty Thor, John Romita's The Amazing Spider-Man, Wally Wood's EC Stories, David Mazzucchelli's Daredevil Born Again, Sergio Aragona's Greed the Wanderer, Joe Kubert's Tarzan of the Apes, Gil Kane's Amazing Spider-Man, Mad, and Will Eisner's The Spirit, Volume 1. That would, I mean, I could do, if I did 10 of those, if I did 30 images each, well, I don't have 30 images, yes, I'd have to, maybe I'd have to do the top 15 or 20, I don't know, anyway. Bantering ideas back and forth. If you have a thought on that, you can always send me an email, scott@aenext.org. I'd appreciate that. If you had any thoughts on what to do for this 10th anniversary, I'd also love to hear feedback from that. And in general, I'd like to hear feedback about the site in any way. Any thoughts or you have any questions? I have all these books. I love to answer people's questions and provide that to them. I'm here as an information source, and I like to provide that information. So any questions you have, any thoughts, any comments, please email me. Again, that's scott@aenext.org. That can also be found at the website, aenext.org. Click on the About page, and that will take you to my giant picture, which I haven't quite figured out how to edit that out yet, and just go with a smaller picture, but it's my site info there. Email's there. You can always ask me questions. That's about it for this month, you know. You will see reviews. I think I talked about that last time. You'll see more reviews this year. I mean, 6 artist editions. I think that's going to be about, or AE format books. I think that's going to be the average from now on. So Scott Denberg said he wants to release 4 a year. And then we'll see a couple from other publishers, and that may be it. So I want to be putting other things in amongst. I have a lot more French editions. What did I pick up? I have 6 more French editions that I could review. So I'm going to intersperse those. I mean, at a bare minimum, I want 1 review a month. I'd like to do 2 reviews a month if I can, but I'm not sure there's actually enough material for me to do that. So I want to lay out things that are not in the AE format. So not full-size original art. I have the David Mazzucchelli's Daredevil Born Again Artisan Edition. I got that cheap at my local comic shop because there was a ding on the one corner. So I want to review that in comparison to the full size. Like I said, I have 6 French volumes. None of them are original art size, but again, same as the Jean Giraud blueberries I've reviewed, 2 so far. I have the rest of those, and then I have the Mobius 13 book he did. So there's still that kind of stuff. I'm looking around for other things. If it's I have that Ditko is Amazing giant hardcover that has the scans of the Amazing Fantasy 15 Spider-Man story. They look kind of gray. I don't know if they're photostats or scans. I know the Library of Congress has the original art, and I've seen some things online. There's a gray tinge to it that I just can't get out of my head. If you're a listener and you've gone to the Library of Congress and seen the original art pages for the Amazing Fantasy 15, which, by the way, you just have to book it ahead of time. You have to get it. They do a security clearance on you, and then someone is in the room with you, but you get to handle the pages. It's pretty awesome. Next time I go to the Washington Library of Congress, that is on my bucket list for sure. I want to handle those pages. But, so if you see a book and you think, hey, that's right in the wheelhouse of the Artist Edition Index, let me know the book, and I will try and get that reviewed as well. All right, lots going on. Lots of things to do in 2020. I don't know why I had June in my hand when August is the actual anniversary date. I think it's because the book was solicited, and then I had originally ordered that Dave Stevens Rocketeer Artist Edition because it was going to be only available direct through IDW and then at the San Diego Comic-Con, and then they released it through Diamond, so I canceled my pre-order with IDW. Got it from a local comic shop. Maybe that was the reasoning for that. Can't quite think about that right now. Details are getting fuzzy. You see, you got to document these things as you get older. All right, that's it for me. Another month down at the Artist Edition Index. Again, everything we've talked about, everything you want to read about, that's all things AE, that is at aeindex.org. Shoot me an email, scott@aeindex.org. Support us, patreon.com/aeindex. Find us on the socials, facebook.com/artistedition index or twitter@aeindex. All right, thanks, and we'll talk again next month.